Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a, well, I think a necessary and frankly urgent look at this intersection of powerful new technology and the decades-old mandate of HIPAA compliance.
It's a huge topic.
It is. If your organization is embracing AI for diagnostics or moving patient data to the cloud with, say, virtual desktop infrastructure, or even just automating workflows, you've gained a ton of efficiency, but you've also opened up all these new security vectors. Mm-hmm. So our mission today is to cut through that complexity. We want to give you the absolute clearest path to securing protected health information, PHI, in these modern, fast-moving digital environments.
And this is not just some, you know, academic exercise. Yeah. The compliance stakes are astronomical.
Yeah.
The Office for Civil Rights, the OCR, has really accelerated enforcement actions.
Right.
We're seeing multi-million dollar settlements. And it's precisely because organizations fail to get the safeguards right around new technology. Their message is unequivocal. Ignorance of how a new AI platform handles PHI is just not a legal defense.
So the old playbook is not enough.
Not even close. Not when you're dealing with large language models and global cloud infrastructure.
Absolutely. So how do we tackle this? We've structured this deep dive around what we see as the three central pressure points. First, the unique risks of AI. Second, the pitfalls of the cloud. And then third, the human and automated vigilance required to stay secure.
But before we get into all this shiny new tech, we have to start with the foundation, the things that haven't changed.
Yeah.
The core mandates, the privacy rule, the security rule, and the breach notification rule, they still dictate that you must have administrative, physical, and technical safeguards. It's not enough to just say you're secure. You have to be able to prove it.
Right. Which brings us immediately to the prerequisites for using any of this stuff. We're talking about comprehensive risk assessments.
Covering every single system that touches PHI.
Everyone. And documented policies. And perhaps most critically, in this new world of outsourcing, the Business Associate Agreement, a BAA, for every single vendor who handles your data.
And that last point. The BAA is no longer just a legal checkbox you tick. I mean, given the complexity of modern integrations, the actual content of that BAA now matters more than ever.
If you have 50 vendors.
You need 50 robust agreements that actually address the specific technology they're using.
That's a perfect segue. Let's unpack that first major challenge, AI compliance. Why is integrating an AI tool or a large language model so fundamentally different from, say, securing a traditional electronic health record?
Well, AI introduces a completely different risk profile.
Mm.
And it's mainly because of its appetite for data.
It needs to be trained.
Exactly. Machine learning models require these massive amounts of training data, which often contain sensitive PHI. And if that data is transferred to external third-party servers for processing, your attack surface just explodes.
And then there's the risk of data leakage, right? Especially with generative AI.
Precisely. Large language models, LLMs, they're trained on these huge data sets, and they have this unfortunate ability to sometimes memorize sensitive information. It's a risk we call data leakage.
So you mean if a user inputs PHI into a generic model?
That data could potentially surface later in a response given to a completely different user.
Mm.
And beyond that, if you use AI for automated clinical decisions, IPAE's accountability provisions mean you have to document how that system works and why its decisions are reliable.
So the strategy for choosing tools has to be compliance first. My key takeaway here is twofold. One, you have to verify the vendor will sign a comprehensive BAA that's tailored to AI. We'll get more into that later.
Mm-hmm.
And two, stick to tools specifically built for healthcare, things that have PHI redaction built in or offer secure on-premises or private cloud options.
And here is the essential warning. I mean, if you take away one thing, it's this. Generic consumer-grade platforms like the public versions of ChatGPT or Claude should never receive actual PHI, period.
Never.
If you need to leverage those tools, you have to do it through a highly controlled, HIPAA compliant enterprise configuration where the data is either de-identified first or just never leaves your secure environment.
Which brings us to data minimization, the idea that you only use the minimum necessary information.
Precisely. And if you're doing analysis or model training, proper de-identification is mandated. That means actively removing all 18 IPAI identifiers.
And it's not just names and social security numbers.
No, people forget. It's things like admission dates, all elements of dates except the year, specific geographic subdivisions, biometric identifiers.
Mm.
You have to be thorough. If you can't de-identify, then you look at advanced techniques. data masking, tokenization, or even creating synthetic data.
Synthetic data?
Yeah, it mimics the statistical properties of real data, but without containing any real PHI. Is becoming essential.
Okay, let's talk technical controls for a second. What about an AI that has to see the PHI, like for diagnostic imaging?
That's where you rely on tight technical architecture. The systems have to be configured to process that PHI in memory.
Meaning it's never written to a hard drive.
Right. The data is only used in the computer's volatile memory. And you need automated deletion policies to immediately wipe any temporary files after processing. If you don't create a persistent copy, you dramatically lower your risk.
All right, this is where it gets really interesting for me. Moving to the cloud and virtual desktop infrastructure, or VDI. A lot of organizations see this as a security upgrade. You've got Azure, AWS, GCP. They all offer compliant services. So if the platform is compliant, we should be set, right?
That is the most common and, frankly, the most dangerous misconception in cloud migration.
What?
The catch is the shared responsibility model.
Okay.
Think of it like this. AWS, or Azure, is the rental car company. They give you a perfectly maintained, roadworthy vehicle. They guarantee the engine works, the structure is safe. But you, the driver, the healthcare organization, you're still responsible for locking the doors, setting the alarm,
making sure the configuration is secure, and driving safely.
Exactly. The cloud provider secures the infrastructure beneath the operating system, but your organization is responsible for everything above it. The virtual desktop configuration, the firewall rules, the data encryption keys. A misconfigured storage bucket on a compliant platform is still a HIPAA violation, and it's 100% on you.
We've seen massive breaches from that exact mistake.
All the time. Just simple misconfiguration errors where data was accidentally left open to the public internet.
So what are the absolute essential technical controls for VDI access?
Well, encryption is foundational, both in transit, when data is being viewed, and at rest, when it's stored. You have to prevent data downloads to unmanaged personal devices, keep the PHI inside the secure VDI. But the single biggest, most mandated control now is multi-factor authentication. MFA.
Non-negotiable.
Absolutely non-negotiable for all cloud VDI access. Passwords alone are entirely insufficient. The OCR views MFA as a baseline requirement now, not some optional extra.
Now, you mentioned modern architecture. Things like zero trust principles. That sounds complex, maybe resource intensive. For a smaller hospital moving to the cloud, is that really an essential expectation?
It's quickly moving from aspirational to essential. Zero trust just means you assume no user or device is inherently trusted, even if it's inside your network. Every connection has to be verified.
So where do you start?
You start with a core tenet of network segmentation, specifically microsegmentation.
Okay, explain microsegmentation simply for us.
Imagine your network is a large ship. If there's a breach in the hull, you don't want the whole ship to flood. Microsegmentation is like dividing that ship into dozens of tiny, isolated, watertight compartments.
I like that analogy.
So if an attacker compromises one virtual desktop, they're strictly limited. They can't just pivot and jump freely to the billing server or the EHR. It limits the blast radius of any breach.
That's a phenomenal way to put it. Okay, let's talk automation. Moving into our next segment, we're integrating systems with APIs, we're automating tasks with robotic process automation or RPA. How do we secure software that basically acts like an employee?
This is a huge area of overlooked risk. RPA tools, these are software bots mimicking human actions. They have to be treated as the electronic equivalent of human users.
Meaning they need their own login.
Their own unique credentials, yes. And they must operate under the principle of least privilege. They only get access to the exact data needed for their specific task, nothing more. And their passwords, their access logs, they have to be managed and audited just as rigorously as a human's.
So if an RPA bot is scanning documents, it needs its own specific audit trail, totally separate from any human user.
Precisely. That audit trail is essential for accountability. And when we talk about APIs, which are the backbone for integrating EHRs and billing systems, centralized security enforcement is critical.
And what's the tool for that?
The API gateway. Think of the gateway as a security checkpoint. A really sophisticated bouncer standing in front of your valuable back-end systems.
I like that.
Every single API call that transmits PHI has to pass through that gateway, where it enforces strict authentication, authorization, encryption, and rate limiting before it ever touches your sensitive data.
This expansion of integrations just brings us right back to vendor management. It feels like the business associate ecosystem has just exploded in complexity.
It has. An organization might have dozens, even hundreds of BAAs now. It spans everyone from the big cloud platform vendors to small AI transcription services, and the risk is managed by the contract.
So the BAA itself needs to evolve. What are the crucial provisions for this new tech that, say, weren't standard 5 years ago?
Well, the modern BAA must explicitly prohibit vendors, especially AI and cloud analytic platforms, from using your PHI to train models that benefit their other customers.
Ah, that's a big one.
It's a huge compliance liability. If they're using your sensitive data to improve their general service, that's a massive problem. And the contract has to mandate concrete PHI deletion procedures and timelines after the service ends. Data persistence in the cloud is a major retention risk.
And signing the BAA is just the beginning.
Oh, it's the easy part. Ongoing due diligence is what matters. You have to conduct regular security questionnaires, have the contractual right to audit, or at least receive and really scrutinize their third-party audit reports, like at SOC2.
Okay, let's move into our final segment. Continuous vigilance. We've covered the tech, but what does this all mean for the organization's workforce? Because people are still in the loop.
They are the first line of defense. And generic training just doesn't cut it anymore. Employee training has to be regular, but more importantly, it needs to be role-specific and scenario-based.
So not just reading a policy.
No. Employees need to practice. If you see a suspicious link in an email about a lab result, what 3 steps do you take? Or how does HIPAA apply when you use this new AI tool to draft a patient letter? It has to be practical.
And with the relentless cyber attacks, proactive detection, it has to be automated. We're talking about tools like security information and event management, SIEM and UEPA.
Right. Think of it this way. The SIEM is the security camera system. It logs every single event, who logged in, where, when. The UEBA, the user and entity behavior analytics, is the smart security analyst who's watching that camera feed for strange, anomalous behavior.
Give us an example of something UEBA would flag immediately.
The classic one is impossible travel. If a user, Jane Doe, logs in from her usual terminal in Miami, and 5 minutes later, the same login credentials try to access 500 records from a server in Frankfurt, the UEBA flags that immediately. It's also looking for low and slow threats, like a user who normally accesses 20 records, suddenly downloading a 10,000 record data set. These tools provide the vigilance you need when data moves faster than human eyes can track.
Finally, let's revisit the risk assessment mandate. How does that foundational document need to change for AI and the cloud?
The assessment has to specifically analyze the unique risks of AI. That includes potential bias in algorithms or the risk of model failure impacting patient care. And for the cloud, it's all about the risk of configuration management errors.
And you have to document your decisions.
That's vital. You have to document your risk acceptance decisions. See, IAPREA requires reasonable and appropriate safeguards, not perfect, impenetrable security. So if a risk is low and you decide to defer fixing it for 6 months, you must document why that decision was made. That shows due diligence, and it protects you during an audit.
And the final compliance detail, keeping all this paperwork, the policies, the training records, the risk assessments, the BAAs.
All of it. You have to maintain it for a minimum of 6 years from its creation date or the last effective date, whichever is later. It's a long-term, high-discipline requirement.
So what does this all mean for you listening to this deep dive? You need to walk away prioritizing 5 absolute foundational requirements. 1, mandatory multi-factor authentication for every single user touching PHI.
Every single one.
2, robust encryption in transit and at rest across all your cloud platforms. 3, comprehensive audit logging and monitoring powered by tools like SunKim and UEBA. 4, thorough vendor management, making sure your BAAs prohibit using your data for model training.
Mm.
And 5, continuous scenario-based role-specific employee training that addresses the actual AI tools and cloud systems they use every day.
And here is the final, I think, provocative thought to build on all this. As AI rapidly expands into clinical documentation, generating physician notes, summarizing patient histories, drafting diagnostic suggestions.
Which is happening right now.
It is. Those outputs become part of the official medical record. They have to be protected as PHI. But the provider remains fully responsible for the accuracy and completeness of that record, regardless of the AI's help. So this raises a really important question. Beyond technical security, beyond just data protection, how will organizations manage the clinical liability and the governance challenges of algorithmic decision-making under the umbrella of AI accountability?
Wow.
That convergence of security, liability, and clinical judgment.
Yeah.
That's where the real deep dive of tomorrow lies.